Welcome back to the Senate section here on 90.7 The Capstone. We're going to continue our discussion about the lack of student interest and attendance at college football games, a pandemic that's kind of been going across the country here the last few years and has really kind of reached its head here during the 2013 season. We're going to get into some statistical data here that's backing this up. Now, there's a lot of different there's a lot of different analytics and metrics behind this that were taken during the 2013 season. And one of the interesting things I saw was the primary what they in this article that I sent out for them to read that's on ESPN.com. The first thing they talked about was the University of Arizona and how they, against the fifth-ranked team in the country, the Oregon Ducks, the student section was half empty when the game started. And by the time halftime had come around, they'd built a 28-9 lead at halftime. Everyone started showing up then. Mm-hmm. All the students started showing up. Pretty much the students, and then by the time the game had ended, the entire student section was filled, and they all ran on the field. So pretty much they got there to storm the field.
Yeah.
And
I would do that too.
Hey, we're going to storm the field. Let's go to the football game stadium.
But that's just, it's very sad to me. That's just such bandwagon fan to me. And they're the students. I mean, they represent the student body. They're supposed to be the pride of the university. And one of the things that they talked about is that when the game started, they had only 3,773 tickets accounted for when typically the student section seats 9,000 seats. So that's right over a third of the student section was filled up for the fifth-ranked team in the country that was coming in to play them.
Well, I think you had to figure, like, this is a classic case of a bunch of people see Oregon's coming to town. They've already lost once to Stanford, which means they're probably not going to lose again. They're going to come in motivated. They're going to try and stay in the BCS hunt. We're probably going to get blown out, is what most Arizona students thought going into this game. I'm not saying that's a good excuse, but that's probably the thought process going into this game. But even if you think your team's going to get blown out, from a loyalty standpoint, you show up for the first couple quarters, in my opinion.
And we're going to I'm just looking down through here. That's kind of a bad example, I guess, in a sense, because Arizona is known more as a basketball school.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring something up, considering that's my in-state school, my home school. I have a lot of friends that go to U of A, and I was talking about that in Brooks. You're right. You know, that was in November in the middle of basketball season, and a lot of my friends down there had the start of the basketball season, but a lot of my friends down there had the same interpretation as Alex that, you know, we have four losses, you know, we have Kadeem Carey, but B.J. Denker's not a very good quarterback, and nobody really went until the end.
Yeah, but at the same time, I don't care if you're a basketball school. It's November. You're just beating up on teams.
Well,
by 30
say you
points.
Went to Kentucky, though. I'm just using that as an example that they haven't been good for a while. Do you still show up for the football games?
Oh, maybe. Here's why. Because Mark Stoops has, you know,
but I mean,
he's
years
brought
before,
some excitement to
years
the football
before
program.
Him, when you just knew you're going to lose every single game.
Oh, they've only gotten that bad the last couple of years. When Rich Brooks was there, they were a competitive team. But that's off topic a little bit. I wanted to get into talking about how the sellouts. That's a very misleading statistic.
It is.
You know, Alabama is technically Alabama sells out every game, but if you look at the student section, it'll be half empty at some games, and it makes you think, well, how is it sold out? The tickets are sold, but they're not accounted for, and that's something. Oklahoma is in the midst of the longest sellout streak in history. 92 consecutive games that have been sold out there right now. That's going on currently. And their student section has more than 10,000 seats. And they went 10-2 this year. Finished 11-2 during the regular season. They were 10-2. 28% of the student tickets went unused on game day this year.
That's an extremely high percent, especially for a proud football program.
Absolutely.
Like Oklahoma.
I mean, and that's the thing, though. You've seen the regular season, you know, used to mean so much in college football. And now, you know, here in the latter parts of the BCS era, it's kind of reached a point where it doesn't mean as much anymore, and there's not as much interest surrounding the regular season.
Well, it means too much. It means too much in the grand scheme of things of the BCS because every regular season game means so much. If you lose one regular season game and you're not in the SEC, you're out, basically, of a national championship case. So teams are building in FCS teams.
That translates to week scheduling.
Yes. They backload their schedules terribly because they know that they only need to go undefeated, win their conference, and they're going to get a BCS bid, if not a national championship bid. So what does that result in? That results in Alabama scheduling two FCS teams at home. In a given home schedule or something or something of that nature.
They typically schedule one FCS opponent per season. It's the week before Auburn, and that's typically the game that has the worst attendance of the entire season. In fact, another one of the articles that I left on here for them to look at was an article written by the Crimson White talking about the 2009 season. I believe it was 63% of the student tickets went unused for the Western Carolina game.
I was at that game. I was at that game, and that game was weird because it was a week after A&M too. So and it was during right before Thanksgiving. It was right before Thanksgiving break. So most people.
It was an A&M kickoff game.
Yeah. It was an early game. It was right after A&M, so a lot of people were really depressed. And everyone that was there and wasn't depressed went home for Thanksgiving break rather than go to that game against an FCS school at an early kickoff. So that was the best seats I got as a freshman last year was for the Western Carolina game, first row of the end zone where usually there's some block seating. But that's another talking point that we're going to have about with potential UA student tickets being used. And it's gotten to the point where the playoff system, I think, is going to help. That's where I'm really getting with this, is when every game doesn't necessarily kill you, you'll go out on a limb to at least schedule a little bit harder. Because instead of being number one or number two, you can be in the top four. You can get a little bit respect for a tougher schedule and having lost a game rather than immediately being ruled out for having one loss. I think the playoff system helps this and helps the fans by putting better product out on the field.
And the thing is, though, that I hope that the committee, the selection committee for the college football playoff, sticks to their guns when they say that we're considering scheduling is going to be considered very heavily when we pick our four teams. I hope they stick to that.
It should be.
And because, I mean, the team, because, you know, there's a teams that I still believe that even though Alabama went 11-1 this year, that they were a better football team than a lot of them, than the majority of the teams in the country. They didn't finish in the top five in the AP in the final poll because they finished their season with two losses, but I still believe they were one of the two or three best football teams in the country. That's just my opinion. But here's the thing. These teams that go, I hope these teams that go out and challenge themselves and maybe lose a game or two still get heavily considered because of the teams that they've played. And that's the thing. We're going to get into what we think are some potential, I guess, remedies and solutions to this problem that's been occurring over the last few years, or if you think now, because we're moving into a new era of college football, if it's going to be self-healing, or if it's going to be solved by itself. Here's one of my solutions, and it's strictly to do with scheduling, and I feel like scheduling has the most to do with why the attendance is so poor, specifically here at Alabama. It's because we play teams like next year, Florida Atlantic, Southern Miss, and Western Carolina. It shows up on the schedule again. So those are three games that people are going to be gone by halftime.
Yep.
Now the conference games, that's a different story. That we did have some issues at those games. You know, they blew out Arkansas 52-0. Almost everybody was gone by halftime.
Yep.
There's nothing you can really do about that.
Yeah, blowouts in SEC games are few and far between. Even with Alabama, like we'll beat people pretty solidly, but we won't beat. Alabama won't beat people by 50 points very often.
Typically.
I mean, they've done it to Arkansas the last 2 years, but that's kind of an anomaly.
Oh, and then a couple years before that, they actually beat Arkansas 45-7. Arkansas's just been on the bad end of a couple of blowout losses.
They're rebuilding, and I think Brett Bielema.
Was actually when Petrino was there when happened.
Yeah. Like last year was John L. Smith, or 2 years ago was John L. Smith, and then with Bobby Petrino. But I think Brett Bielema, their current head coach, will get them back playing competitive ball.
here's my solution. It's they require these, I guess, the teams that were formerly known as automatic qualifier conferences to the BCS. They require these schools to play all their non-conference teams against other teams from automatic from big name conferences, because even if it's a middle of the pack or a bottom feeder from another conference, Alabama versus Purdue is going to have more notoriety and have more buzz about it than Alabama versus Kent State. And Alabama versus, you know, Alabama versus California is going to have more buzz to it than Alabama versus Western Carolina. I think that's what it needs to be done. You have like every, I think they should like mandate it to where you have to play all of your non-conference games within the power, I guess, five conferences now. And I feel like that would solve a lot of the attendance problems. Now I'm going to let you get into what, we'll go ahead and start with Brett. Brett hadn't said anything in a while.
Well, I'm just saying there's no way that's going to happen, because the one big thing is Western Carolina probably made a lot of money just by playing that game. And that's a big thing about the NCAA is spreading money around. So a Western Carolina, and even all the way to Appalachian State, that them beating Michigan, they made so much money that's the reason why they've been able to continue winning. So I don't think that's going to change anytime soon, because these lower teams are getting paid to play these BS games against Alabama or some of these other teams.
I'll give them one bad opponent, but every other game out of conference needs to be a challenging game. And the SEC is going to a 9-game conference schedule in 2015. That will help attendance some, because every other year Alabama will now have 5 home SEC games as opposed to 4. But back to your point.
Yeah, I was just saying money wise, I don't see that change is going to happen, because those teams, they need the appearance against Alabama just to get some notoriety, just by, because you haven't heard of some of these schools before until you play them against some of these big schools, and that's when, so they get more appearances by playing like in Alabama and just getting knocked out, but still, people are still
going to
schools.
Some of them don't even get knocked out. Look at what happened to Florida and Nebraska getting beat by FCF schools on the same day. I'm pretty sure.
And Colorado
season.
State played was a formidable opponent against Alabama. They held their own.
Exactly. So some of these actually can keep up. So, and that would almost help some too, if you do some of the top level of those and then play them against some of those bottom feeders. Maybe that would help too, because if those teams can put up a fight, more people will be like, oh, maybe I should go to the game. So I think they need. They need, like, the Western Carolinas, Appalachian States, they need more appearances with some of these other teams. And I don't think that's going to be a solution that I'm going to see anytime soon, just for money reasons.
And I think scheduling has a lot to do with it. I think that scheduling will improve as the format goes forward. So I'm a little bit more on board. We're heading in the right direction. But I think universities can evaluate their own student bodies and say, particularly if you're not even showing up, it's one thing to come and leave. But if you're not even using your tickets, if you're just, you know, not purchasing, if students aren't purchasing them, or if they're purchasing and not using them, then you make an agreement with your student government and say, all right, if the unused percentage of tickets gets above this mark, let's call it 15-20% or something like that, then we take 2,000 of the student tickets away and start selling those to fans who we go and want to pay for it and generate money for the
and
school.
And actually, the University of Georgia cut their student section back from 18,000 to 16,000 last season. And what they've done is they started taking these unused tickets from the students and reselling them to recent alumni, people who have graduated within the past 5 years from the University of Georgia, and selling them to them at at face value. And I think that's a great idea to get them back, because they're coming from out of town, so a lot of them, so they'll be more inclined to stay because of traveling expenses and stuff like that. And also, you know, because that enables you know, new alumni. If you're alumni, you don't really get to go to games unless you give to the university. And this enables you know, these young people who are just fresh out of college and don't have a whole lot of money to be able to come back and watch their university.
And it can work both ways. If you're a student matriculation gets to where, you know, like at Alabama, where you're 95% or 100% go to almost every game, then you can look to maybe expanding the student section. It can work both ways as a university, but there's got to be some incentive to going to the game and staying at the game. It can't be, you know, if we don't use our ticket, then nothing happens. Then what's the point?
And there's been a couple of universities now, Arizona specifically, they've gotten to the point where they're actually they're giving out some cash prizes at games now for students.
And U of A just expanded. They just had a huge, huge stadium renovation last season too.
Yeah, I mean, and that's I mean, that I would show up. I mean, yeah. Given who, what college student doesn't want money? What doesn't want free money?
What is it that a field goal for tuition that Alabama does through Golden Flake?
Yeah, and that's something that's very interesting. And any student can sign up for that when they come into the stadium in the student section. But you know, there's a whole lot of different ideas for to improve student attendance. I think the SEC is on the right track in terms of you know, putting the Wi-Fi in each stadium and getting some better phone service for, you know, the two most popular providers, AT&T and Verizon. I think that will help a lot. And in addition to the going to the 9-game schedule, yes. I think we'll see you know, student attendance back on the rise here in the next couple of seasons. I think it might stay kind of where it's at, kind of low for next season, but I think it will steadily be on the incline starting in the 2015 season.
Well, I think it's just a generational thing. Just it matters what students are in there. Like, if your team's really good for this 4 years, or if this your team, I think it matters the year, too.
And another thing, too, here, I feel, I haven't even talked about this, UA students are spoiled rotten.
Oh, we are.
We are spoiled rotten. I mean, you look at mine and Brett's class. We've watched two championship teams the first 2 years, and now all of a sudden, this past season will be good for Alabama football and its fan base because of what happened. They might not be necessarily expecting an undefeated national championship season this year, but that's going to be it for our student talk. We're going to come back on the other side talking some NFL free agency. You're listening to the student section on 90.7 The Capstone.
What about the Auburn guy, that like $15,000 putt?
Oh yeah,
that was just something that, you know, I thought about as far as cash prizes at games were concerned.
Yeah, I mean, they do shoot up T-shirts, but
yeah, that's not much. Come to the game to get.
I have yet to get a T-shirt.
Hey, sorry about that U of A talk. It was my bad.
It's okay. If you're gonna say U of A, you better be talking about Alabama though.
See, for me, it was either Arizona or Alabama. I was destined to go to a city that starts with the letters TU, Tucson or Tuscaloosa.
I'm sweating my ass.